up, everyone? Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Between the Tackles podcast. The NFL Combine is in the books for 2026. Next step, we'll get to that in a little bit, but we want to break down the winners and losers of the Combine. As we know, you know, I don't put a whole lot of stock into the Combine. I know there are these workouts and, you know, for me, I'm skeptical about how it translates to NFL game action, but we're here to break it down anyways for you. We got the winners and the losers today. I'm back with my pal Manish. Manish, how you doing today?
Doing great, Burge. Let's get into it.
So let's start us off with the losers here. Manish, there were a few losers from the Combine whose stock might have dropped as a result of this. Who's the first one we got on our list?
Yeah, well, before we dive in here, I just want to echo your sentiments. I think that media and fans in general are about a month or so behind NFL teams when evaluating their draft prospects. And I know from talking to general managers, scouts, executives throughout the league over the last couple decades, that the combine results actually present an opportunity for the smarter teams. Because remember, scouts have looked at these players for a year, sometimes 2 years. So they have a pretty firm handle on what these guys are as players. So if they, you know, don't particularly do well in the 40 or their drills aren't necessarily sharp, the smarter teams will look at that as a buy low opportunity, and hopefully some of these other teams get caught up in the numbers in Indianapolis, and players that the smarter teams covet drop a little bit. That's why I don't typically like saying losers, because if anything, the losers could wind up being the winners in the draft, because they could land in more favorable positions. Because again, the tape supersedes everything, and the numbers that we saw this past week in Indianapolis aren't necessarily important. So there's a lot of great buy low opportunities. I'm going to start first with the Nebraska running back Emmett Johnson. There was a school of thought that he would be the third running back drafted behind both Notre Dame running backs Jeremiah Love, who's in all likelihood going to be a top 10 pick, and Jadarian Price, who will be a day two pick in all certainty. And people felt that Johnson would be the next guy off the board, but he did not have a good combine week. In fact, of the 10 running backs who ran in the 40 in Indianapolis, he had the slowest time, 4.56. And when you look at his size, 5'10", about 200 pounds, you're looking at a smallish guy who isn't fast in straight line speed without pads. So what is the value in that? I think smarter teams who are looking for a dual threat, a guy who can be a reliable pass catcher. This is a player who lined up in the slot. He can be a player like McCaffrey, in the sense that he's not just a running back. He's obviously not the caliber of running back that McCaffrey is, but he's a guy who can offer you a dual set skill set. That's why I look at a team like the Commanders, who had Antonio Gibson for several years, and they had a veteran guy these past couple years. You know, teams that are looking to complement their big bruising running back would be smart to get him. And I look, frankly, at the smarter play callers in the NFL. Andy Reid comes to mind. You know that the Chiefs are looking to upgrade at running back. And sure, Johnson's not going to be a bell cow type running back, but in the right scheme, with a smart play caller like Andy Reid, Johnson could make an immediate impact, frankly. And he's going to be a day three pick. This isn't a guy who is going to be a first rounder, never was. Now there's a real chance he could slip out of day two. It's funny because you can kind of get lost in the numbers. What I thought was one of the interesting numbers that he posted was his three cone drill time. And, you know, average fans don't really care about that. But historically, when you look at running backs, he was at the 30th percentile of the three cone drill. And that might give some teams pause for concern. And again, that would give, in my estimation, smart decision makers a real buy low opportunity for Emmett Johnson. I really like him as a day three guy who could help your team right away.
Absolutely. And obviously in today's NFL, like having a pass catcher out of the backfield who can line up in the slot and do multiple different things is value to any NFL team in today's day and age. So it'll be interesting to see where he falls. I do tend to agree he's going to be a day three pick. And, you know, I'll echo your sentiment. If a team like the Chiefs or like a guy like Kevin O'Connell can pick him up to kind
exactly.
of.
Exactly. Perfect. I was just going to mention him. Absolutely correct on Kevin O'Connell. Remember, they're in all likelihood, I think by the time we record this, they will have cut Aaron Jones. So they're looking for a player who fits that skill set as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, you get that type of receiving back out there to just be another option for the quarterback. You know, it can make that the QB's job a lot easier. I'm going to go obviously stay on the offensive side of the ball here. And for one of my quote unquote losers, Malachi Fields out of Notre Dame. There was some concern. He did not test well on the 40-yard dash. He had a 4.61 time. And that's very concerning for him, considering, you know, he lived and died by the go route in college. And that's a big deal for him. He did have a good vertical, 38 inches there. But, you know, he didn't do anything to help himself in this. Well, all likelihood a day three pick. Could find his way into day two if a team wants to take a shot on him. But his combine was not all that great. He also had a few drops in the gauntlet drill. Which, you know, obviously doesn't look good. But again, somebody like me, I tend to agree with what you said about these teams where they already know what these guys are. Like these combines, as a fan of the game, like I feel like the combine is more for the NFL to put something on TV for the fans that are starved of football right after the Super Bowl. And so like I tend to not really get too invested in it, although I will buy the hype on some guys. You know, that really stand out. I'm one of those guys that will jump right on the train with that. But it'll be very interesting to see where Malachi Fields ends up.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's funny. There is a bias when a player does exceptionally well in the combine to think, wow, you know, I would love to have my team draft this guy. But if you have a strong conviction on a guy who doesn't particularly show well during these drills and these, 40-yard runs, I think, you know, the wise approach would be to not overreact. I agree with you on Malachi Fields. I'm going to go with the next guy who could be a buy low opportunity. Similar in some respects to Fields, a big bodied wide receiver who's not a burner. And that's Washington wide receiver Denzel Boston. In our first mock draft, which you can find, in the catalog of episodes, we had Denzel Boston going with the final pick of the first round, staying in state with the Seattle Seahawks, who could obviously use a compliment to JSN to help out Sam Darnold. This is an X receiver. Again, big guy. I think he measured in at 6'3.5", 212 pounds. Wasn't particularly impressive in his drills. Wasn't particularly impressive in the 40. But again, that's not his game. This is a guy who on tape will win more 50-50 balls than not. I think at the very least he's a round two pick. And when you look at the wide receiver class, as we mentioned during the mock draft show, you could have maybe a dozen or so receivers in the first two rounds. And there isn't that Ja'Marr Chase type of stud at the top. Even though I think Carnell Tate's going to be an exceptional player, I don't think he's going to ever rise to the level of Ja'Marr Chase. And then you have a boatload of players who have different skill sets, different body sizes, who can really help your team. I think Boston fits that mold of a guy who isn't going to look flashy when you look at combine stats. But when you look at the production, 20 touchdowns in the last 2 years, a great body control, toughness, doesn't shy away from any competitive element to the game. I just think that there were just too many big time plays on tape at Washington to ignore him simply because he didn't look good in shorts for a couple of days in Indianapolis.
I agree. I just kind of echoed that. You know, these teams obviously with the way the NFL has trended over the last, we'll say, 5 to 10 years with wide receivers is you got to find it in the draft because these guys are getting paid almost, like quarterback money. Like, they're getting big monster contracts, you know, when they come due for their, you know, their first real contract in the league. And a big success for these teams is being able to find these guys consistently in the draft. And I think Boston could still be that guy. You know, he's got his pro day coming up. You know, that it's going to be huge to really prove where he stands, you know, with these drills and everything like that. But again, these teams know who they have with these guys before the combine even happens. So let's move it along. I'm going to go defensive with my next kind of loser here. It's going to be R. Mason Thomas, the linebacker out of Oklahoma. He's already a smaller guy. He's only 6'2", 253. He's got shorter arms. You know, I'm a little scarred from the arm talk with being up here in New England with Will Campbell for the last year. Shorter arms. But he did not run particularly well on the 40-yard dash. 4.67. You know, pretty average in terms of that speed. You know, he's going to have to be creative in the NFL to be able to, you know, generate pressure around NFL level offensive linemen. You know, but so we'll see where he shakes out. Not sure where he's going to end up. I know there were talks, you know, I don't believe we included him on our mock draft, but I think he would have been right outside of it if we did not. I can't recall, to be honest with you. But he would have been right outside it when we recorded that episode last week. If we were going to redo it again, I don't think he'd be making the first round in our mock draft. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, there's a lot of short arm talk for both offensive and defensive linemen. But when you talk to scouts who actually looked at Thomas in college, the short arms weren't necessarily an issue. He has so much bend and burst around the edge that you know, he can overcome that. Now, obviously, it's a different level of competition at the NFL level, but I just think it's dangerous to ignore what you saw on tape. And, you know, some people likened him to another Oklahoma pass rusher, Nick Benito, who was obviously found a great deal of success with the Broncos. I'm not sure he's going to be Nick Benito, but I also think that you shouldn't be overly discouraged simply because he didn't perform well, you know, by some people's standards in Indianapolis, because again, this is a guy who is, you know, dynamic player on tape. And you know, I don't care what the athleticism score is, because when you watch a football game and you see him beating offensive linemen and getting home, that to me carries much more weight than, you know, an athleticism score that's given out for each position at the combine.
The eye test means a lot. The eye test does mean a lot.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's value in obviously what happens in the combine, but I just think that it takes a significant backseat to what you see on game days. You know, the next guy, we got a couple offensive linemen coming out to round out our list of quote-unquote losers or buy low candidates. I'm going with Alabama tackle Caden Proctor. I mean, this is a mountain of a man, 6'7", 350, not 6'7", 250. 350, didn't look particularly sharp in the field drills, 25 reps on the bench. If I could do 25 reps on the bench, I'd be ecstatic, but I'm not going to be a future NFL player. 1.84 seconds at the 10-second split in the 40-yard dash. And when you're looking at offensive linemen, if you take any value out of the 40, you obviously don't care what the long speed is, because these guys, more times than not, are not going to be running 40 yards down the field. But that 10-yard split sometimes can matter, but I wouldn't overreact to it. When you look at the tape, you see great agility. You see quick feet for a guy who is 6'7", 350. I don't think the tape is lying in that sense. I mean, this is a guy who the coaches at Georgia believed was so athletic that he caught a screen pass in a game. So they clearly believe that he's got, you know, sufficient athleticism to excel not only at the college level, but it's pretty apparent that he's athletic enough at the pro level. I would not be surprised, frankly, if a team like the Eagles, who we had taken an offensive tackle in our first mock draft, I would not be surprised if the Eagles gave him a good hard look at 23. Yeah, he's big, but all you have to do is go back 2 years when the Eagles had a converted big tackle in Mekhi Becton move into guard, play the guard position for a Super Bowl winning team, and frankly, play at a very high level. I think that was Mekhi Becton's best season as a pro. And there's, you know, been some chatter about if Proctor doesn't work out as a right tackle, could you move him in and slide him in at guard? And Becton, to me, was a good benchmark for that, and the Eagles had a lot of success. So, you know, as I said before, you know, smart GMs, smart coaches take advantage of these buy low opportunities, and there are few guys at the executive level smarter than Howie Roseman.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting to me how you look at these offensive linemen where they play tackle for their collegiate career, and you come to the NFL, and you know, you're drafted as a tackle, but you kind of shortly after being drafted, or you know, a couple of years into your career, you're playing guard and you're playing at an elite level. And you know, I've talked at nauseam about Will Campbell with the Patriots being a potential option for that. Now, you don't want a fourth overall pick, you know, falling into that kind of that realm. But if you can get that elite level production out of these offensive linemen that you know you draft as a tackle, but may not work out, and then you end up moving them into guard, and you get incredible results. That's a slam dunk of a draft pick, especially late in the first round, like we were just talking about. I'm going to keep it on the offensive line, like you said, Manish. Francis Mawigoa. I got it down. I got the pronunciation down. We had him pretty high in our mock draft a week ago. We had him going number 3 to the Arizona Cardinals. A combine didn't do anything to increase that, or in my opinion, really decrease it, other than the fact that there's questions why he didn't test at the combine. He is a young player. You know, he's only 20 years old, but he's also played a lot. He's played 42 starts in college. So great experience there. He will perform at the pro day in Miami in a few weeks. So we'll get to see him work out then. Also a large man, 6'5", 330. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see if his pro day, we do the mock draft after his pro day, does he still slot in at number 3 on our mock drafts?
Yeah, look, this to me would be an incredible steal if somehow he did quote-unquote slide because he didn't compete in these drills. You know, as you said, Burge, earlier, the combine is more of a TV event than anything else. I don't think any player should feel compelled to compete. We have this conversation every year about quarterbacks who will or won't throw and whether that's a knock on their competitive nature if they choose not to throw. I never looked at it that way. And Mawigoa not performing in these drills up against other offensive tackles, frankly, it's probably a strategic play more than anything else. Because as you said, you know, he will do all those things and run at the Miami Pro Day. You know, the tape is exceptional, and that's why we had him going 3rd to the Cardinals. If he somehow made it to the Giants at 5, I have no doubt that John Harbaugh and Joe Shane would run up with that name on the card. That would be an incredible pick for them. I just think sometimes the conversation morphs into something that's borderline ludicrous. You know, just because he did not perform these drills doesn't mean he's not a competitive player or he's scared of competition. I think that's frankly ridiculous. You know, he's going to be a 10-year starter in this league, and I think that the smart teams in the league are well aware of that.
For sure. I mean, you can't ignore what's on tape from these guys when comparing this to the combine. You just can't. In my opinion, it's like I would rather just not even see the combine, and I'll just go off the eye test from his performances at the collegiate level.
Yeah, well, I mean, the NFL is banking that you're going to watch it because that's why they put it on. Yeah, so that, look, we've wrapped up the buy low prospects. I think an honorable mention should go to Carnell Tate, Ohio State wide receiver that I mentioned a bit ago. There was a quote-unquote controversy over his 40 time. He officially clocked in at 4.52. And then I believe Adam Schefter tweeted that general managers and executives on several teams actually clocked him in at 4.5 to 4.47. Look, I don't care if it's 4.45 or 4.52. I know what I saw. I'd be stunned if he wasn't the first wide receiver off the board. We had the Browns taking him early in the first round. He's going to be a top 10 pick. Again, I would be stunned if he were not the first receiver taken. I just thought it was comical in many respects that this 40 time got so much attention. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, 7/8 of a second difference. I know that every fraction of a second supposedly counts, but when you have a skill set like Carnell Tate, whether he ran a 4.45 or he actually ran a 4.52, I think that's immaterial to the player that he's going to be at the next level.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Hey, I'll be happy if he slips to 31 at the Patriots. Give it to me. Well, there you go. There you have the kind of the buy low candidates from the results of the combine. I do want to touch on a couple of, we'll call them quote unquote winners, guys who probably improved their draft stock based on the results of the combine. I'm just going to start with one that really caught my eye, and it's a bummer the Patriots are picking 31 because I would love to have this guy, join the Patriots offense. That's Oregon tight end Kenyon Sadiq. On our mock draft, we talked about him quite a bit. You know, being an impressive prospect for the tight end position. Well, he ran the fastest 40 time of any tight end in the history of the combine, and that was a 4.39, which is incredible considering Sadiq's size. He's going to be a threat in this league, pass catching threat. I know we talked about, you know, maybe he's not as much of a blocker that, you know, as he is a receiver, but he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, I think kind of going in, we had an inkling that he was going to raise some eyebrows with the numbers he was going to post, just because you hear enough rumblings around the league, you know how athletic he is. And any team that has scouted this player for the last year or so is fully aware of what he is athletically. So I don't think it was a surprise. I'd be curious now if he does, in fact, get closer to the top 10. We had him going to Buffalo late. Will he be a top half of the first round, or could he even kind of creep up to that 10 area where he probably in team's eyes has always been, but like, as we said earlier, from a public perspective, we look at him as rising. So we're talking about risers, from a media and fan perspective, I think they're risers, but yeah, Sadiq is definitely one. I'm going to talk about a couple quarterbacks here. There's some other guys who have gotten headlines, which you can touch on in a second, Birch. But this Arkansas quarterback, Talon Green, 6'6", 227. He ran a 4.36 40, blazing speed. Now, look, he was erratic in quarterback drill. So that raises the question, would he be open to a position change? Much like we saw years ago with Terrell Pryor, Ohio State quarterback, who transitioned to wide receiver. The word on the street is that Green is not interested in making that positional change, which I thought was actually a little bit odd, because typically players are more than willing to play whatever position to get an NFL job. You know how difficult it is to work in the NFL as a player. So they're typically open-minded. So maybe, you know, Green's thinking changes as we get closer to the draft. But as of now, he really wants to prove himself as a quarterback. I just think there's too many inconsistencies. But again, that speed is very tantalizing. I think teams knew that he was fast. And I think that, honestly, most teams are looking at him as a wide receiver project. And that would be a tantalizing guy to get in your building, you know, day three pick, obviously. But a guy that can, have a second career, if you will, as a wide receiver. Just a tantalizing guy. The other guy, UConn wide receiver, Skylar Bell. I know I said two quarterbacks, and I guess I'll quickly touch on Penn State's quarterback, Drew Aller, who a year ago many people thought would be a top 10 pick. Didn't particularly play well this year. He did well in drills. I still think he's a day three pick, a developmental backup quarterback type of guy. But he did everything he could during combine week. I just think ultimately his play this year was significantly worse than it was a year ago, because a year ago, if he decided to come out, I have no doubt that he would have been a top 10 pick. And I just don't think that's in the cards for him, but he did everything he could at the combine and showed well in the passing drills. But I did want to touch on the UConn wide receiver, Skylar Bell. This was a Biletnikoff Award winner finalist. That always trips me up. Sorry, Fred. Rest in peace. 6'2", 192. The college production's all over the place. Top five in virtually every meaningful category, receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns. But this, you know, the level of competition was a fair question. The guy had the fifth best vertical. I think there was only one wide receiver in this class who had a better broad jump. So clearly a very athletic player, an intriguing day three option. And again, a deep wide receiver class. I don't believe he'll be a day two pick, a round three pick. I think he'll slide into day three, but that's a guy who I think can give you some production, you know, at a really good value.
Value is everything in the NFL draft. And I'm going to go, I got one more that I specifically want to touch on. Mike Washington Jr., the running back from Arkansas. You know, we talked about Emmett Johnson kind of underperforming, you know, with his results at the combine. Well, Mike Washington excelled. He had a really good combine with a 4.33 second 40, which, you know, shows that kind of that breakaway speed that he has. And he backed up what he did with Arkansas last year in college. And, you know, you see that, and, you know, like when we talked about Johnson, about how these teams really look for this type of runner with breakaway potential, big play, home run hitter. You know, the Patriots looked for it with Travion Henderson last year, and you saw that translate a little bit to the NFL game. I think Mike Washington really did put himself into a position to kind of be that guy that has that home run hitting speed. You know, where does he slot into the NFL draft? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm not, like I said, I'm just here talking about him, but maybe day three, maybe late day two. Manish, do you agree with that kind of take?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on what you're looking for. Because if you're looking for a guy who can be more of a Swiss Army knife, you go with Johnson. You know, if you're looking for the home run hitter, the Travion Henderson type, then you go for Washington. So it really kind of depends on the need. You know, running back has been devalued so much, it would not surprise me if he were a round four pick.
Yeah, I mean, if so, somebody's going to get a bargain with that, with the potential for to have that kind of that home runner speed there. So, well, there you have it. Manish, you got anybody else you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
There's a lot of guys. Monroe Freeling, offensive tackle, monster of a man. I think there was a question initially before the combine, would he be a first rounder? I thought he did well in drills. He's squarely in the mix to be in the back half of the first round. Again, a guy who's probably going to be on the right side, but he, just like Drew Aller, he did everything that he could within his control at the combine to make people think, yeah, you know what? He could be and should be a first round pick.
There you have it. Combine quote unquote winners and quote unquote losers. We'll see how it translates. I'm sure our mock draft, our next version of the mock draft, when we get around to it, 2.0, is going to have some movement based on the NFL combine. So there you have it. We'll catch you next time on Between the Tackles. Follow us on X, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, like, subscribe, download. If you want more from us, be sure to check it out. We will see you next time.